from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club, our best audience of the entire show. I see you, Chris Kamikaze. There you go, Bobby. I said the K word. I was looking for some of the different names that I saw that opened up the show live on YouTube and Twitch. Thank y'all for being the TV viewing backbone of the program. And if you're listening on the Odyssey app, you are appreciated. With Bobby Bell joining us as our Cowboys insider, I'm Sean Trafe alongside RJ Choppy. Nico continues to cook. As yesterday, the Dallas Mavericks brought back Spencer Dinwiddie. Here's Sham Sharania with the breaking news on McAfee.
But this is someone that averaged 17 points a game for Dallas in two seasons. He was part of that 2022 Western Conference Finals team with the Mavericks, with Luka Doncic. That team had Jalen Brunson, and he can spot start. He can play as a starter at different points. He can come off the bench. He can play a six-man role. He's someone that can play defense, shoot the ball. This is a big pickup, especially late in the summer for the Mavericks to go get Spencer Dinwiddie. He's already shown he can be ideal next to Luka Doncic. And the Lakers have had interest in all these players. They had interest in bringing Spencer Dinwiddie back. They have a little bit of a roster crunch. They're 15 guaranteed roster spots.
And Mavs fans were bragging about another win over the Lakers. Kyrie? Nope, LeBron. Klay Thompson? Nope, LeBron. And Spencer Dinwiddie come back to Dallas, even after what you said about him. I think we all have to like the pickup, especially for what the contract is going to be. Dinwiddie last year at the age of 31 averaged 10-5 with Brooklyn and the Lakers.
Yeah, look, he said what he said in February. A little bit off-putting. He made a bit of an offensive comparison talking about Mavs are like mom and the Lakers are like dad who give you the tough love. Well, I guess mother knows best. Because he came back home. He picked him over the Lakers in the end. And look, for all of the struggles he's had since he left Dallas, there were a lot of struggles leading into Dallas, too. And one thing that we do know for sure, and Shams kind of referenced it there, that he's got a history. He knows how to play off of Luka. And we know he has success playing off of Luka and the opportunities, the looks that he gets. He, during his time here, 17 points a game. It's the highest average he's had during his career was here in Dallas by 3 points. His three-point shooting percentage while he was in Dallas was 7 percentage points higher than his career average, and his field goal percentage was 5 percentage points better than his career average, and he turned the ball over at the lowest rate of his career. So he took care of the basketball. He made shots. He got open looks. Sure, bring it back.
It's a no-brainer. You're paying him nothing, and the guy could score. Like, he can be another option for you to get a basket. If PJ doesn't have a night, Maybe Spencer does. Like that's all you're looking for, because the way the game is now,
yep.
All you have is a bunch of guys just chucking threes, and you need as many guys that can make them as you possibly can. Someone's going to be on that night, right? Someone's going to be on. You're just looking for as many guys to figure out who actually is hot that day.
And you have another person who can handle the ball.
Mm.
When you look at this Dallas Mavericks roster, I now ask you on the Frank LaFranco text line, what's missing? You're trying to piece together your perfect basketball team.
A true three.
From a role and need standpoint, what else is missing? Because you did need another ball handler. You got that. Another scoring option. You can go ahead and always use that. You have your wing defenders with Grimes and Marshall at 6'5 and 6'6. You added more shooting with Klay Thompson. And you have bigs with Gafford and Lively.
Yeah, I think I would want a big that can shoot. And then
Matt, you got Maxey.
Hey, you got Derek Lively. We heard what Tim McMahon said. Lively's been working on that three every day. They are going to break that out in the future.
Okay, then that would settle that. But like as of now, we haven't seen it.
Right.
So like, you know, a big that can shoot.
Yeah.
And I think a real three. Because I don't.
You
Klay,
know,
Klay is old. He's old. Like I mean an in their prime. Number three.
Number three. Not three as in small forward.
Right. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They're positionless now, right?
That's what I was going to say.
A number three. Not a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the floor in terms of positions.
Well, I feel good about, you know, Luka, Kyrie, and then a combo of, you're going to combo it up, of Klay, PJ, and Dinwiddie.
Yeah, it's an aggregate, right? You're combining all the three together. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because that's going to be, you know, over 28 points a game, in my opinion, throughout the regular season. Now, it depends, ball probably distribution, how many shots, but I'm going to count on Klay for like 14. I'm going to count on Dinwiddie for like 8. And then PJ for 13, 10,
12,
maybe
like that.
More. And I'm being conservative.
Yeah. And look, I mean, because if you just look at Boston, I mean, they had obviously Tatum and Brown, but then they also had, you know, Porzingis, who, I mean, they were just a different animal.
Yeah, no one else can do that,
right.
Really.
Because they've got 6 guys that can do it.
So if I were to look at it and say, what?
Because then if you get a true big dog number 3 option, you may turn into the Phoenix Suns, who has nothing behind it.
Fair. Yeah.
I could argue you'd rather have this collection as your 3 than a big dog.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and be Homer and say, I'd rather have these 3 than Bradley Beal.
Those 3 versus that 3. Yeah, but as the 3 and the 12 you can put behind them versus those 3 and the 12. Yeah, absolutely. But now, if I was going to look at 2 things that give me a little bit of pause, I still don't feel like you have a really reliable bring the ball up the floor, like run the offense guy outside of Kyrie and Luka. Like if you need to give them a break or you want Kyrie to play more off the ball and have somebody step in for Luka when he's on the bench, you don't have that yet. You have guys who can do it, but you don't have anybody who's like, that's a really natural position for them. And then the other thing is just the scores that you did add. You got to look at 3 or 4 scores now are 32 years or older. You've got a really old scoring core and that can flip on you really fast.
Assist wise, Spencer Dinwiddie had 9 a night with the Nets early last season. By far, his highest assist average in the league, really by 3.
That's remarkable because they only scored 11 baskets a game.
Yeah,
I loved his attitude when he came here. I thought
we need him for like an every other week player show. That was my huge regret when he left here, and I heard an interview, and I was like, oh man, this guy will say stuff. We need to ask the Mavericks. I don't think anyone has set that up. We do it with the Cowboys. We do it with the Rangers, with Coach, GM. I want a weekly with Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah, he's really good. He's thoughtful. He's funny. He'll say some stuff. He'll choose to just pop off a little bit. But he's somebody who, I like the edge. I like that it's another person you can add back into the fold who has been with Luka through some pretty trying times. Like, I mean, going through that West Finals run and going through the back end of that. Like, I like that you've got somebody who's gone to war with Luka essentially and is somebody who knows how to play off of him, knows he has a chemistry fit. I mean, so often we talked about leading into Kyrie, how difficult it was to find the right fits with Luka. Well, here's one that you know does. Like, this is a guy we know plays off of him really well. And has a good relationship with him, has a relationship with him that he knows he can work with him in the locker room, on the court, everywhere else.
We were looking, because of Tim McMahon, at Dennis Smith Jr. as a possibility for this final spot. Ugh. We're all good with Dinwiddie over Dennis Smith Jr. Yeah. Final spot on the roster, even though Dennis Smith is a better defender.
Yeah, I don't need the J. Cole courtside appearance anymore, especially after he bowed out so easily from the Drake-Kendrick Lamar beef. I don't need that showing up here. But no, the Dennis Smith Jr. thing, there was a time I had such high expectations for him that were probably unreasonable.
He looked like Derrick Rose athletically.
Yeah, exactly what he looked like, just in terms of the way that he could get up and attack the rim. But it's just, that was a dude who I never felt like there was a time here in Dallas where between the ears he was tough enough.
So now the Mavericks offseason in Clay, Grimes, Marshall, Dinwiddie. Out, Derrick Jones Jr., Josh Green, Hardaway. Depth, Luka at the point, Kyrie at the two, Klay at the three, PJ at the four, Lively at the five. Backups, Dinwiddie, Grimes, Marshall, Maxey, Gafford, Jaden Hardy, Exum, Omax, Dwight Powell.
Cool. Let's run with it.
Yeah.
I can. That is as good of an offseason as you could have expected them to have, I think.
Yeah, because they didn't have a whole lot to work with.
Reasonably, the capital that they had, the space that they had, that's as good. Like, the Nico gets an A. It's an A for the offseason because that's as good as it possibly could have gotten.
And the NBA news continued to be as good as it could have possibly gotten yesterday. Turner Sports said, we're matching. We got the right to match. Amazon, give me that night of the week back, and the NBA, they don't care where it's coming from. No. They're getting 1.8 billy either way.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care. This is good news. You don't have to worry about changing apps to go from game to game.
That was RJ's take last night.
I mean, is that not the right take? That is the worst thing about streaming, is that it's impossible to be a true sports fan streaming because you can't channel surf and commercial breaks. Like, that's the whole point of going to break, is to go check out action somewhere else. And it's just too difficult. It's just too difficult to do. So this is such great news. Keep it on the guide. Keep it on cable. I don't have to go to a special app to open it.
And what else? What else is great about this, Chop? Forget flipping channels. What else is great about it?
Look, it's a good show. I don't care about the show. It's a good show. I would never turn it on if I wasn't going to watch the game.
That's total opposite.
I've watched that plenty of times and then changed it as soon as the show's over.
Well, because the show's over, because it's 2 o'clock in the morning when the show's over.
But I'm talking about changed it as soon as the pregame is over and they go into their whatever their national game is.
He's not going to give it up. He doesn't like it as much. It's fine. Yeah. It's their old dinosaurs.
Their chemistry's great. They're just old.
Well, they call people out. I love it. Obviously, without Charles, it's nothing.
Right.
And that's the big follow-up. Is Barkley still going to retire after this upcoming year?
Didn't he sign like a 10-year deal recently?
A couple of years ago, yeah. But I mean,
you can still retire.
You can still retire, yeah. Look, I mean, he is the...
He changes his mind, too. Like, he's the Brett Favre broadcaster.
I was going to say Jordan, specifically because as much as he dislikes things about Jordan these days, he clearly has his fickleness for just committing to retirement. But... he's threatened this a few times, and it always conveniently is right when either a contract situation or a change in platform or however you lay this out. It's always when there's a shift where he could potentially make more money.
Because I was viewing this upcoming season kind of like I do the day before vacation ends. Like I let it ruin my day before vacation because all I can think about is leaving and it ending, and I was going to be cherishing. Like, I'm saving my dad's voicemails on my phone, being 87 years of age.
That was very dark, almost, I feel like.
It is intended to be dark.
Why would you do that?
Because when he dies, I want to have some type of memory. I want to hear the voice, like you should have done with your parent.
Well, I did, actually. I saved the voicemail message she used to leave on our house. I've still got it on an MP3.
Well, there
computer.
You go. So why are you looking at me then? That's how I was going to be saving Inside the NBA on the DVR until DirecTV Stream kicked it off in 9 months, I think is the new rule. But the Prime Video package would have had games on Thursday night, after it's done carrying the NFL games. Its other nights were Friday and Saturday, as they are going to have a nationally televised game every single night of the week. TNT, according to the report, would likely carry games on Thursday, with other nights being streamed on Max.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's all part of the same company. The Turner, whatever, Warner Brothers, I guess. And then Max is just the old HBO.
So I'm happy. I'm thrilled.
I'm happy, too. This is, again, another example, though, of, like I put in my email essay, I don't understand. This is another, like, we only, not only did somebody, was somebody willing to pay it, now Turner showing, well, we're willing to match it. Like, people are willing to throw a ton of money. There was a story up in Sports Business Journal last week that said the Las Vegas NBA team that's expected to come through expansion at one point, the estimate right now is that it's going to be $7 billion to acquire, which would be $1 billion more than the Commanders sold for as a record in professional sports.
Wow.
And there's so many games.
There's something, but there's something here.
Advertisers must be getting their money.
Advertisers,
worth.
League, the league wants to do expansion rapidly. All of a sudden, they're looking at all the, there must be some sort of futures projections that people around the NBA are looking at that saying, this is going to blow up in 10 years, and you need to be ready for it.
877-881-1053, Frank LaFranco, injury attorney, text line to hit us up on DFW Sports Station. Are we going to be missing CeeDee Lamb and Trayvon Diggs when we arrive to Cowboys training camp tomorrow in California and someone on national TV says, forget CeeDee and Dak, pay Micah first? That's next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We leave for Cowboys training camp tomorrow after the show. Show number one for the entire station will be Thursday morning from the tennis courts in Oxnard, California. Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt? And is it looking like we're not going to see Trayvon Diggs possibly with CeeDee Lamb missing as well?
Yeah, it looks like Trayvon Diggs is going to start training camp on PUP, the PUP, which is something that Brian's talked about this in the last week. He was hearing a lot of chatter that it looked like Diggs was not going to be ready to go right at the start of training camp, that he was going to be coming along a little bit slower. So it's not totally surprising from that sense when Calvin Watkins talks about it yesterday, but it still puts you behind a little bit, and it does leave you keeping an eye on his recovery, I think, a little bit more. Because that happens second week of September, so we're a full 10 months clear of it, closing in on 11. And if you look at their recent history with ACL tears, Michael Gallup, Jabril Cox, Terrence Steele, they all came back.
Jabril Cox.
And Jabril Cox, everybody was like, that's the name. They cut Jalen Smith because of Jabril Cox in the middle of a season. He tears his ACL, and he never came back from it. Michael Gallup tore his ACL, was never the same player after that. Terrence Steele, we're a year removed. I guess we'll see. The last guy I can remember that they had on their team that tore an ACL and bounced back and had absolutely no problems and played better than he was before the injury was Connor Williams. That's the last
Why
one.
Why is that?
I don't know, because
it's 2024. Like, guys recover from ACLs.
So Gallup's was a thing between the years. Gallup just didn't trust his knee anymore. And that, like, if you talk to people around the Cowboys, they'll tell you that. They'll say he got to a point where he didn't trust his health anymore.
Did he have a reason to not trust it?
No, I think it rattled him.
Okay.
Honestly, I think that's what happened. Terrence Steele, I don't know. We'll see. That one was, you know, he tore it a lot later in the season, so he was further behind when the season started last year, and you hope he's bounced back a little bit. And he's got the highest work ethic, arguably, of anybody in the building. Like, he's right up there with Dak, Terrence Steele, so you hope he's bounced back this year. But Diggs has been out here doing his training videos, running in sand, doing all sorts of different things, so he's fighting his way back. But it's definitely worth monitoring to see, is he going to come back totally the same this first year after the injury?
And, of course, the reason that Lamb could be missing is contractual. Stephen A. Smith with an idea that I've not heard brought up. We certainly have not discussed it. He said, put Lamb and Dak to the side and pay 11 first.
But my priority would be Micah Parsons. That's me. And the reason I say that, I understand. From a business perspective, it's the National Football League. The quarterback's the priority. I get all of that. CeeDee Lamb is a stud. We get all that. I understand that.
Yep.
But I'm talking Mystique. I'm talking the brother that shows up and, excuse me, listen, I'm going to get at the quarterback. I'm going to hold it down on the defensive side of the ball. We going to make up for what we know the quarterback ain't going to give us. I just think that Micah Parsons, nobody's LT, and I'm certainly not implying that, and he's got to show up in the playoffs too, but Micah Parsons to me is that dude that personifies so much of what Cowboy fans believe they are. I'm taking care of that brother. I'm not losing that brother.
So Stephen A. coming at this from the viewpoint of who is the best player. You could have a CeeDee Lamb argument, but like, who right now would I put my money on to definitely make Canton in the Hall of Fame? I put it on Parsons first.
Oh, if you had to pick one, for sure.
If I had to pick one, that's where Stephen A. is coming at this from.
But has Stephen A. not said for years about this Cowboy team? It's all, they're just substance. They're not substance. They're just style. He's talking about mystique. Shouldn't he be talking about wins? Isn't that what he always preaches with his team?
But, I mean, he's always preached that because, to be fair, Stephen A. has always consistently said, like, you set a standard and you set a reputation that you just have not hit in 30 years. Like, he's always talked about the foundation of the organization, and that's why he rags them so hard, is because he says, you guys are not, it's not the 90s. You are not this team anymore, and you act like this is acceptable.
Now, why would this be a take that we haven't brought up or a lot of people don't agree with? Well, it's the advantage of being local, covering him, and really going inside the stories pertaining to leadership, attitude, accountability. Those would be the drawbacks to the argument of paying Micah Parsons first if you were going to prioritize him over the other two. Is there anything else I'm missing? And your instant reaction to Stephen A.'s suggestion.
I think it's wrong to prioritize Micah Parsons just from the perspective of you have control over Micah for minimum 2 years, more like three, because he's here on his fourth year. He's got the fifth year option and you can tag him. And so, I mean, you've got an ability to have control over him for the next three offseason. Like, you just had this offseason. You've got two more following after this. You've got CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott that you got to get done now. Dak is the most urgent in the sense of, if it's not done by the start of free agency next year, you have no way to stop him. Whereas CD, you can still tag him. There's nothing you can do to stop Dak. You can't trade Dak without Dak giving it a thumbs up. So in that sense, it doesn't make any sense to pay Micah Parsons. It does make sense to pay Micah first from the perspective of, yeah, but that 2 years that you have this year and the fifth year option, if you get it done early and are able to structure the contract a certain way, that's what's burning you right now with CD and Dak and some of these other guys. Is you waited so long to get it done that had you gotten it done earlier, you would have been able to have manageable cap numbers throughout the history of the contract.
Yeah, I mean, you can make that, obviously make that case. And look, if one of them is going to Canton, to me, it clearly is Micah Parsons.
I would bet on CD before Micah.
Oh. Okay. All right, well, look, I mean, I'm not going to argue with him. I disagree, but I think that, to me, it's clearly Micah. Micah's also the first one that I would move on from because I think you can get such great value for him. And we all know offense drives everything. And you on defense, I don't want necessarily stars on my defense. I want...
Well, if offense drives everything, what would Lamb bring you back?
Two ones, just like Micah, I think. Khalil Mack get two?
I mean, Micah, I think, could get you two ones potentially, or a one and a two that escalates or something like that. I don't know that Lamb, I'd have to look at the return on receivers recently. There's not been a lot of history in recent years of like top receivers, even young ones, going for two ones. It's not become as consistent a thing.
Tyreek, I had to go look. But either way, like, you know, we know offense drives things, and you know, the new way of roster building is, you know, don't pay superstars on defense. You'd rather have 11 C-plus, B-minus players on defense as opposed to 5A and 5D. Like, you know, it's a weak link thing. So that'd be the argument there. Trade them, get a couple of ones, and then restock.
I mean, what we've seen, too, is that for all of the questions that did exist, I think, about CeeDee Lamb, given his frame and the type of position he plays, there's questions about how well is he going to hold up. He has been, hasn't shown a single hint of being injury prone since he got to the NFL. Micah not showing being injury prone, but Micah is showing, like, does his size hold up for the trenches full time? Yeah. Like without wearing down like it does. And
is losing weight, as Clarence Hill tweeted the other day, the answer to holding up?
I guess Micah's looking at, or I guess Clarence was looking at explosiveness.
I always said since he was drafted, like, yeah, he looks a little undersized to be going up against. It's a credit to him with what damage he causes up front. But I would think getting bigger would be the answer to that, not losing, unless he thinks it's a cardio thing.
Well, bigger is generally slower, smaller. So like now it's the, hey, yeah, if they get their hands on me, good luck trying to get your hands on me. You'll stay more elusive. Yeah, you might get a better chance of getting bottled up if you do get tucked.
But I'm more powerful and can box you and fight you for nine rounds.
Yeah, I think perhaps maybe he's like, I could put on 10 pounds and I still wouldn't be able to handle them. Man, like, you know, I still wouldn't be able to overpower them. So my best route would be just to make myself even more difficult to get their hands on me.
The most talented player of this group, like just natural talent, is Micah. There's zero question about it. He is a historically talented individual. And I mean, like, I know we talk about how quick he is and stuff. Like, we're talking about him losing weight to be a little bit quicker. Like, I don't know that people remember. Do you know what he ran at 245 pounds? Do you know what he ran in his 40 at Penn State?
4.5.
4.38. He was a 4.38 guy at 245 pounds. He is a freak.
Yeah.
There's nobody like him in the NFL right now. There's that angle of it. From the CD side of it, though, the argument that would say take care of CD first is, like, if you're just looking at prioritizing contract status out of this, CD to me makes the most sense because he's shown all-world talent with all-world work ethic that has not consistently been there with Micah.
That was Inside the Star here on Sean and RJ. We are your home of the Dallas Cowboys, in case you did not know. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers, once again, explaining to us, you just don't understand things in life. This is Aaron Rodgers explaining missing Jets practice on Part of My Take.
The thing that I think people don't understand is that when I was in the NFC North and playing for that team, years ago, there used to be a real thing called mini camp, where it was you had one of them usually. Sometimes it was right after the draft, but either way, it was five practices in 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So two practices on Friday, two on Saturday, one on Sunday. Now it's not mini camp. They can arbitrarily put a tag on whatever week of OTAs they want. Say, this is the mini camp week, which makes it somehow more mandatory than the other weeks. But it was an OTA schedule. That's how it's, you know, how words can be a little deceiving from time to time. You can make a story out of the fact that I missed a mini camp when it was really two OTA days.
My mind is a Rubik's Cube right now.
It's amazing.
Not put together.
No, I love this so much. I have
on comeback with a bowl.
I have so, and I've said before, I have so much respect for somebody who just willingly gaslights the hell out of me. Like, no regard for or any respect for our intelligence. They just blatantly lie to your face, and they don't even care. I have so much respect for people that can do that. Because truthfully, that was one of my goals in life, to be able to do that. And I just can't do it at the same level that he does. That is incredible gaslighting. I've barely seen anything quite like it. Phenomenal.
Look, is there something to what he's saying in terms of the way?
Not according to his coach, no. Who called the absence unexcused. Did he have this conversation and explain to Robert Saleh, you don't really know what you're doing with the labeling of OTAs and minicamp?
I am certain he probably did.
He's insufferable.
I am certain he probably did tell Saleh that.
So insufferable.
But is there something to the just general idea of minicamp practices that aren't what minicamp practices used to be?
Sure.
I'm sure he's right about that. It doesn't change the fact that just say, if you're that comfortable in your own skin and you're that comfortable telling people to just, you know, jump in a lake like he seems to be, then just say, I didn't want to be there. You don't have to tell us, like, we don't know what the definition of a mini camp is, you idiots.
That would lose the opportunity to explain how he's more intelligent.
Yeah, that's true. That's where it comes into play.
So there it is. Aaron Rodgers explaining. Dan Graziano had a line about this on ESPN that RJ appreciated.
You know what's really comforting is that if they don't make the playoffs, he can just say, well, the media said we didn't make the playoffs. We actually did. They can say whatever we want, but we won the Super Bowl. So you know that. So now he's all set. Yeah.
Perfect. It's a good line.
It's a good line. All right.
You got one, Dan.
That's right. That's my line, Bobby. Did you stay up for the awesome walk-off that the Texas Rangers needed so badly? And how about Colleyville taking over the baseball headlines last night as well? That's next on the Home of the Champs.
Boy, did the Rangers need this? And do they need this celebration right now? And maybe this walk-off right here is just what the Rangers needed to go on a run.
Maybe it is.
Boy, Mike Ballysick on the call there. Right there. I want you all to imagine if the Rangers were, or if the Cowboys were 4-6 last year, and they're rolling into a game with the Giants at home against an awful Giants team, and they're losing most of the game and losing late, and they come back and barely squeak by against the Giants, and then 9:40 Monday when Mike walks in here, if I were to go, boy, Mike, maybe this win is just what the Cowboys needed to spark them on a run, he would spend the entire crosstalk making sarcastic comments, basically insinuating that I'm an idiot.
But if you were sitting right next to Brad Sham in that booth, your ass would be on 105 through the fan and the Dallas Cowboys radio network saying, maybe this is what sparks the Cowboys. You'd be doing the same freaking thing. So shut it up.
Because it is going to spark the Cowboys. They're going to go on a run from that.
That's right. Wyatt.
11-6.
Langford with the walk-off. Jonah Heim, clutch, plays at the plate. Bruce Bochy getting ejected. And man, for a game on July 22nd, this one felt absolutely necessary with the Rangers getting the win and Seattle in the armpit losing above you. You are four games back.
Yep, there it is. And that's, I mean, four games back if this is July 31st, I don't know a team sells four games back. I don't know that you're selling. You know what I mean? You're just not. Like that's
then they're making a mistake.
You what?
Then they're making a mistake.
Well, they very well may be, but the defending champs who are four games back typically don't sell.
Who don't have not had their arsenal right. being, you know,
mm-hmm.
More pitching.
And, you know, I mean, Josh Jung and Evan Carter. Generally.
Give me the rotation of the playoffs. That's the way we need to go about this. Let's forget about the offense waking up. Let's just disqualify them. Give me the pitching rotation in a series.
I mean, I guess perfect world, it'd be DeGrom, Eovaldi,
Scherzer, Mally.
Gray.
Scherzer, Mally, Gray, yeah. Okay. Unless you're tightening the rotation to four.
It's going to be four of the playoffs. It almost always is.
Now, where is that stacking up amongst American League rotations?
Well, okay, that's a good question because, like,
Seattle?
Seattle, obviously. Where's Garrett Crochet go?
Well, forget him.
Right? Because, like, someone's going to get him. Maybe it's not the American League. Maybe he goes to the NL, but, someone's going to get him.
What current AL staffs are better than that in the playoffs? Just work with me here. Play along with the exercise.
So are we, within this exercise, are we assuming they're at their peak? Like, are we assuming DeGrom comes back and is DeGrom?
Just give me the name.
Yeah.
Because to me,
difficult.
Then I'm not going to make it difficult, and I'm going to tell you I'm not going to pick the rotation over anybody's because I don't know what they are yet. And so I'm not going to. I know reliably what other rotations would be compared to Texas because I don't know that DeGrom's going to come back and be DeGrom right
away. Baltimore and the Yankees rotations.
Well, Baltimore's got Corbin Burns at the top, and he started the All-Star game. He's a good pitcher. And then, they've got Grayson Rodriguez after him. The Yankees are going to have Cole and Rodon. Now, if they get Garrett Crochet, I mean, that's pretty nasty. The Rangers would be right up there. I mean, Eovaldi is as good as anybody in the playoffs.
So that's my possible spin on it if I'm CY. We get in and we try to shut other teams down.
Absolutely. And then you hope for something from the offense.
Now, you're betting on DeGrom. You're betting on Scherzer medically and all mm-hmm. that stuff. But maybe that's the way to look at it. Chris Young was on yesterday with the G-Bag Nation. And he was asked, is it frustrating being asked if you guys are going to sell?
Well, it's a great question because I'm competitive by nature. Sure. And I came into the season with very high expectations, high conviction level in this roster and really believed that we were going to be the team to beat in the West. Certainly it hasn't gone according to plan in terms of we've had some injuries, we've had some underperformance, and we haven't been able to string together good stretches of baseball consistently the way we did last year and the way good teams do. Mm-hmm. So when people ask those questions and, I even have to think about us potentially being sellers, that's not fun for me. That's something that I'm very frankly not proud of. And the competitive aspect of my character comes out and I don't like it. But the reality is it's my job to not only evaluate the present, but to evaluate the future and make decisions based upon what's best for this franchise this year and 2025 and beyond. And that's part of the decision that I'll have to make here at some point.
Yeah, and was that with KMC?
That sounded like Broadus.
Okay. I couldn't tell whether it was Broadus or Bassick.
Yeah, look, CY is not in a position where, for one, he's...
I guess it wasn't the host saying, you're the best, Chris, you're the best, so it couldn't have been Bassick.
we've learned by now not to really expect him to be truthful when it comes to injuries, and I'm expecting the same thing with this. Like, he's not going to be completely honest. I'm sure they know what they're going to do. Maybe they're just waiting for, like, A, how they're playing, or B, where they are in the standings. I mean, they can play poorly and still pick up games if the two teams at the top are even worse. And to be four games back, and I think being the defending champs changes a lot of things. Like, my assumption is that Chris Young feels like he owes it to the team to let them defend their title. I think a lot of general managers
feel... may not be his choice.
It may not be. But, short of adding a ton of payroll, I think that he would look at it from the standpoint of they're going to get a chance to defend their crown.
I don't know, because, I mean, like...
And I think you can also defend it while being minor sellers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you could sell... I mean, you could trade Leody Taveras.
Yeah.
That you're not selling anything. You're not changing one game of your ability to win.
Yeah, but if I tell you, if you're looking at holding on to this playoff run and saying get into the postseason and then anything can happen and we can be any of these things, are you willing to sacrifice potentially a top 20 prospect in baseball if packaging somebody like Eovaldi and Yates together, or Eovaldi and Robertson, if that gets you back a top 20 prospect in all of baseball, are you willing to sacrifice that just to say, well, we need to let them defend their title?
Does Nate Eovaldi get a top 20 prospect back?
I think Eovaldi and Yates could get you that out of Baltimore.
Okay, both of them. All right.
If you package them together, not individually, but if you package them together, I think it could.
What was the Rangers' record at this time last year?
They were, because what, they were 40-20 at one point, and then they went on a stretch where they didn't play very well. So I think they were probably 50. They're probably, I don't know, 8 games over 500. Let me look.
Okay. Right now, 48-52, 4 games under and 4 games back in the American League West. You not only had Wyatt Langford getting it done on this radio station, Colleyville representing with some drama last night.
Well, that's not going to make Junior happy, any of his teammates, and any one of the fans here tonight. That will stir him up.
Royals TV, as Bobby Witt gets plunked, the Royals respond, and Bobby Witt Jr. was a single shy of the cycle in the fourth inning yesterday for Kansas City.
He is on such a heater right now. In his last 16 games, he's hitting over 500 with an OPS of about 1,400 in his last 16 games.
Pretty good.
So that's a heater, man. That's a heater.
It's pretty good. He's a total stud. He's exciting to watch. It's a shame he's in Kansas City right now, because
not right now.
No, but I mean, just a shame he's in Kansas City in terms of like the fact that that's where you're gonna put one of the game's biggest stars is languishing with the Royals. But
what did you make of the drama with them hitting him, and then the clear response?
Got to respond
from the Royals. Got to
respond.
You think Arizona hit him on purpose?
I would think so. It doesn't make any sense to hit him on purpose. Like, and I didn't see the rest of the game, so I don't know. Did they buzz other guys throughout the game? Did he slide in spikes up? I don't know. Right. I didn't see that part.
Did he take 40 seconds to run around the bases? How about this stat?
So they just
showed this graphic on ESPN. Notable home run trots this series.
Yeah, this series. So like the Yankees and Rays have been like going back and forth, and Jose Siri, for Tampa has been doing these super long ones. So the Yankees have kind of retaliated.
On Sunday, a Rosarena took 33 and a half seconds to get around the bases. Siri took 32, Judge 31, Caballero 32 seconds. And then yesterday, Siri took 30 and Juan Soto said, screw y'all, 37.7 seconds around the bases. If Bobby Witt did that, okay, fine.
Yeah, and I don't know. Again, I don't know what Bobby did. I don't think he did anything like that. But I don't think that was intentional. But it absolutely was the retaliation from the Royals.
Yeah,
and they had to do it.
Had to.
They had to do that, and they did it in the right spot. They hit him just, I think it was in the hip. That's where you hit him. You don't go high. Just let him know.
I don't know. It might take me just normally, like trying to go at a deliberate pace, it might take me 30 seconds to go around the bases. So I don't know how fast my home run trot would be.
What were the Rangers at this time last year?
59-41.
Oh my.
They're 18 games above 500.
I mean,
3 games up in the West.
59-41. I'm just going to go to baseball right now. The standings right now. That is, that's about what the Orioles right now are, 60-39. The Yankees are 60-42. Cleveland is 59-40. Philadelphia is much better. Milwaukee's 57-43. The Dodgers are 60-41. Like, that's about as good as you're going
to
get.
Yeah, I mean, Texas was never, like, I'm trying to see. They weren't below 500 a single time last year.
No, they were 3-0 to start.
And that they got to 500 early in the season. But even after that point of the 100-game mark, the closest they got was 12 games above 500 was as worse as they got.
We got a little college football kegger and some xenophobia taking place with Team USA. That's next on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan.
Need this, and do they need this celebration right now? And maybe this walk-off right here is just what the Rangers needed to go on a run.
Maybe it is.
Boy, Mike Ballysick on the call there. Right there. I want you all to imagine if the Rangers were if the Cowboys were 4-6 last year and they're rolling into a game with the Giants at home against an awful Giants team and they're losing most of the game and losing late and they come back and barely squeak by against the Giants and then 9:40 Monday when Mike walks in here, if I were to go, boy, Mike, maybe this win is just what the Cowboys needed to spark them on a run. He would spend the entire crosstalk making sarcastic comments, basically insinuating that I'm an idiot.
But if you were sitting right next to Brad Sham in that booth, your ass would be on 105 through the Fan and the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network saying, maybe this is what sparks the Cowboys. You'd be doing the same freaking thing. So shut it up.
Because it is going to spark the Cowboys. They're going to go on a run from that.
That's right. Wyatt.
11-6.
Langford with the walk-off. Jonah Heim, clutch, plays at the plate. Bruce Bochy getting ejected. And man, for a game on July 22nd, this one felt absolutely necessary with the Rangers getting the win and Seattle in the armpit losing above you. You are four games back.
Yep. There it is. And that's, I mean, four games back. If this is July 31st, I don't know a team sells four games back. I don't know that you're selling. You know what I mean? You're just not. Like that's
then they're making a mistake.
You what?
Then they're making a mistake.
Well, they very well may be, but the defending champs who are four games back typically don't sell.
Who don't have not had their arsenal right. Being, you know, more pitching.
And, you know, I mean, Josh Young and Evan Carter. Generally.
Give me the rotation of the playoffs. That's the way we need to go about this. Let's forget about the offense waking up. Let's just disqualify them. Give me the pitching rotation in a series.
I mean, I guess perfect world, it'd be DeGrom, Eovaldi,
Scherzer, Mally.
Gray.
Scherzer, Mally, Gray, yeah. Okay. Unless you're tightening the rotation to four.
It's going to be four of the playoffs. It almost always is.
Now, where is that stacking up amongst American League rotations?
Well, okay, that's a good question.
Seattle?
Seattle, obviously. Where's Garrett Crochet go?
Well, forget him.
Right? Because, someone's going to get him. Maybe it's not the American League. Maybe he goes to the NL, but someone's going to get him.
What current AL staffs are better than that in the playoffs? Just work with me here. Play along with the exercise.
So are we, within this exercise, are we assuming they're at their peak? Like, are we assuming DeGrom comes back and is DeGrom?
Just give me the name.
Yeah.
Because to me,
difficult.
Then I'm not going to make it difficult, and I'm going to tell you I'm not going to pick the rotation over anybody's because I don't know what they are yet. And so I'm not going to. I know reliably what other rotations would be compared to Texas because I don't know that DeGrom's going to come back and be DeGrom right
away. Baltimore and the Yankees rotations.
Well, Baltimore's got Corbin Burns at the top, and he started the All-Star game. He's a good pitcher. And then, you know, they've got Grayson Rodriguez after him. The Yankees are going to have Cole and Rodon. Now, if they get Garrett Crochet, I mean, that's pretty nasty. The Rangers would be right up there. I mean, Eovaldi is as good as anybody in the playoffs.
So that's my possible spin on it if I'm CY. We get in and we try to shut other teams down.
Absolutely. And then you hope for something from the offense.
Now, you're betting on DeGrom. You're betting on Scherzer medically and all that stuff. But maybe that's the way to look at it. Chris Young was on yesterday with the G-Bag Nation. And he was asked, is it frustrating being asked if you guys are going to sell?
Well, it's a great question because I'm competitive by nature. Sure. And I came into the season with very high expectations, high conviction level in this roster and really believed that we were going to be the team to beat in the West. Certainly it hasn't gone according to plan in terms of we've had some injuries, we've had some underperformance, and we haven't been able to string together good stretches of baseball consistently the way we did last year and the way good teams do. Mm-hmm. So when team people ask those questions and, you know, I even have to think about us potentially being sellers, that's that's not fun for me. That's something that I'm very frankly not proud of. And the competitive aspect of my character comes out, and I don't like it. But the reality is it's my job to not only evaluate the present, but to evaluate the future and make decisions based upon what's best for this franchise this year and 2025 and beyond. And that's part of the decision that I'll have to make here at some point.
Yeah, and was that with KMC?
That sounded like Broadus.
Okay. I couldn't tell whether it was Broadus or Bassick.
Yeah, look, CY is not in a position where, for one, he's...
I guess it wasn't the host saying, you're the best, Chris, you're the best, so it couldn't have been Bassick.
I mean, look, we've learned by now not to really expect him to be truthful when it comes to injuries, and I'm expecting the same thing with this. Like, he's not going to be completely honest. I'm sure they know what they're going to do. Maybe they're just waiting for, like, A, how they're playing, or B, where they are in the standings. I mean, they can play poorly and still pick up games if the two teams at the top are even worse. And to be four games back, and I think being the defending champs changes a lot of things. Like, my assumption is that Chris Young feels like he owes it to the team to let them defend their title. I think a lot of general managers
may not
feel,
be his choice.
It may not be. But, you know, short of adding a ton of payroll, I think that he would look at it from the standpoint of they're going to get a chance to defend their crown.
I don't know. Because, I mean, like.
And I think you can also defend it while being minor sellers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you could sell. I mean, you could trade Leody Taveras.
Yeah.
That, you're not selling anything. You're not changing one game of your ability to win.
Yeah, but if I tell you, if you're looking at holding on to this playoff run and saying get into the postseason and then anything can happen and we can be any of these things, are you willing to sacrifice potentially a top 20 prospect in baseball if packaging somebody like Eovaldi and Yates together, or Eovaldi and Robertson, if that gets you back a top 20 prospect in all of baseball, are you willing to sacrifice that just to say, well, we need to let them defend their title?
Does Nate Eovaldi get a top 20 prospect back?
I think Eovaldi and Yates could get you that out of Baltimore.
Okay, both of them. All right.
If you package them together, not individually, but if you package them together, I think it could.
What was the Rangers' record at this time last year?
They were, because what, they were 40-20 at one point, and then they went on a stretch where they didn't play very well. So I think they were probably 50. They're probably, I don't know, 8 games over 500. Let me look.
Okay. Right now, 48-52, 4 games under and 4 games back in the American League West. You not only had Wyatt Lankford getting it done on this radio station, Colleyville representing with some drama last night.
That's not going to make Junior happy, any of his teammates, and any one of the fans here tonight. That will stir him up.
Royals TV, as Bobby Witt gets plunked, the Royals respond, and Bobby Witt Jr. was a single shy of the cycle in the fourth inning yesterday for Kansas City.
He is on such a heater right now. In his last 16 games, he's hitting over 500. With an OPS of about 1,400 in his last 16 games.
Pretty good.
So that's a heater, man. That's a heater.
It's pretty good. He's a total stud. He's exciting to watch. It's a shame he's in Kansas City right now.
Not right now.
No, but I mean, just a shame he's in Kansas City in terms of, like, the fact that that's where you're going to put one of the game's biggest stars is languishing with the Royals. But
what did you make of the drama with them hitting him? And then the clear response.
Got to respond.
From the road. Got to.
Got to respond.
You think Arizona hit him on purpose?
I would think so. It doesn't make any sense to hit him on purpose. Like, and I didn't see the rest of the game, so I don't know. Did they buzz other guys throughout the game? Did he slide in spikes up? I don't know, right? I didn't see that part.
Did he take 40 seconds to run around the bases? How about this stat?
So they just
showed this graphic on ESPN. Notable home run trots this series.
Yeah, this series. So, like, the Yankees and Rays have been, like, going back and forth. And Jose Siri for Tampa has been doing these super long ones. So, the Yankees have kind of retaliated.
On Sunday, a Rosarena took 33.5 seconds to get around the bases. Siri took 32. Judge, 31. Caballero, 32 seconds. And then yesterday, Siri took 30. And Juan Soto said, screw y'all, 37.7 seconds around the bases. If Bobby Witt did that, okay, fine.
Yeah, and I don't know. Again, I don't know what Bobby did. I don't think he did anything like that. But I don't think that was intentional. But it absolutely was the retaliation from the Royals.
Yeah,
and they had to do it.
Had to.
They had to do that, and they did it in the right spot. They hit him just, I think it was in the hip. That's where you hit him. You don't go high. Just let him know.
I don't know. It might take me just normally, like trying to go at a deliberate pace. It might take me 30 seconds to go around the bases. So I don't know how fast my home run trot would be.
What were the Rangers at this time last year?
59 and 41.
Oh my.
They're 18 games above 500.
I mean,
3 games up in the West.
59 and 41. I'm just going to go to baseball right now. The standings right now. That is, that's about what the Orioles right now are 60 and 39. The Yankees are 60 and 42. Cleveland is 59 and 40. Philadelphia is much better. Milwaukee's 57 and 43. The Dodgers are 60 and 41. Like, that's about as good as you're going
to
get.
Yeah, I mean, Texas was never, like, I'm trying to see. They weren't below 500 a single time last year.
No, they were 3-0 to start.
And that they got to 500 early in the season. But even after that point of the 100-game mark, the closest they got was 12 games above 500 was as worse as they got.
We got a little college football kegger and some xenophobia taking place with Team USA. That's next on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.